Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:11. This is the last show for Dave Innes for a couple weeks because he's going to go to Italy. Have you chosen an Italian name and do you have a jaunty hat you're going to wear?
I think Davide.
Davide.
I think there is actually Davide, I think.
Davide Inato.
Davide Anicelli.
Anicelli.
I like that.
Anicello.
Joe Romano, you're the chief Italian on the show. Does Davide Anicelli, I mean, that works, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. Yeah.
Well, that's official.
Yep. Yeah.
That's like...
Delizioso. Prego.
Prego. It's a spaghetti sauce.
That's what I thought.
If you get in any trouble at all, you drop Joe Romano's name in Italy, you're going to get whatever you need.
Is that right, Joe?
Yeah.
Well, you better know what you're saying if you're going to bring my name up.
Yeah. I guess so. Mess up his reputation. It's Dave's leading a group of listeners on a tour of Italy starting Sunday. You and Karen are going?
We are going with Steve Bertrand Travel, who's put together a great tour of Italy. I'm very excited about it. Now, I'm also going to take an overnighter over to Prague just to make sure everything is set there for you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, since I'm going to be in the neighborhood.
You can't swing by the Czech Republic while you're in Rome.
I think you take an Uber, right?
You do take an Uber.
You take an Uber to Prague.
It's an Uber Celli.
Do they have Ubers in Europe?
I think so.
Do they?
I don't know.
Wonder.
Yeah, the Uber's international.
Probably, or something like it.
You call them Yerbers.
Well, it depends on the locals. next week, in the week following, Carmen will be here? Mark Carmen?
Mark Carmen will be here, hopefully.
Oh, God.
More about the wedding. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Lou's coming up. You want to be on Lou's first call, 312-981-7200. Time for you to ask a question about your house or whatever. Today looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. Bright sunshine.
It's my wedding anniversary, by the way.
How many years?
34. Dave, isn't it yours, too?
Yeah, it will be in a month.
In a month, that's right. You're
happy anniversary, Mayor.
I've said happy anniversary, Mary.
Dave Bennett.
Mary, why am I the only one applauding?
Oh, yeah, really.
Happy anniversary.
34 years. That's really
34,
tough.
Yep. And John DeCoste also.
Yes. And Todd Manley. All four of us all got married in 1985.
Not to each other.
No,
not on the same day. Wait,
Mary and I have been together for 34 years as of today.
Are you guys cool if I'm in the show?
Oh, sorry.
And I don't even know what his favorite color is.
I've totally forgotten what I was going to say. Oh, Mary Vandeveld said 34. That's really hard.
It is.
Not I love my husband. Oh, it's been a wonderful time together. 34 years.
I do love him, especially today because I scraped my car this morning in the parking lot, so he has to forgive me today. I love you, Steve.
Oh.
Not you, Steve. My Steve.
Bad week in the garage.
I know.
I thought you loved me, too,
I do
in a
love
different
you,
way.
Too, but, you know, yeah. I gotta,
There's a lot of
Steves around here. Steve Grzanich, love you, too.
Love you.
Steve Grzanich.
Steve Bertrand, love you, too.
Mary Vandeveld scraped her car in the parking lot. You had some damage to your car.
It's bad.
This garage, I think it might be cursed. We may need to get a priest in here to bless this garage, Mary.
Yeah. I was just like crying in the garage this morning. I couldn't even get out of my car.
Is it bad? Is it real bad?
I don't know. I guess. Maybe it can be buffed out, hopefully. Maybe.
Is it possible that you hit Steve's car the other day and you're just not bringing this up like it's a separate accident?
No. Yeah. I was trying to avoid Steve's car on my right, so I hit the cement block on my left. Oh,
so
scream.
Well, I know a good body man. I just found a good body man.
So. And you know, I'm just going to keep denting it. I'm not going to even get it fixed. Who cares?
Idea. Yeah, but see if you get a matching dent on the other side. So it looks like
I do, because somebody hit me on the other side. So I have matching.
All right, let's do the top six at six right now, please.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six. 6666. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, starting next week. One. By the way, this item was specifically put in the top 6 at 6 because everybody's worried about me showing up for work next week. I guarantee you there was a meeting, there was a discussion, and the following item was put in here because they're afraid I'm not going to show up for work. Starting next week, one lane will be closed on the inbound Ike from Ogden to Halstead until 2020. Didn't we just do that?
Yes.
We just reopened.
So we're
the
just
Ike.
Going back to what it was. What was that, like a month ago?
The Ike just got reopened.
Yeah, so it's just going to go back to, I guess, 3. It's very confusing because they're still going to have 2.
And think about that. If you're confused, how's the public going to know?
Yeah, because I don't think people actually know what it's going to look like till it happens Sunday morning at 8 a.m. So Sunday morning at 8 a.m., you should see this change, which I believe will still be 2 going to the Ida B. Wells. They'll still have the center lane going to the Kennedy and the right lane going to the Ryan. So I don't know which lane they're getting rid of. And I've read this press relief a million times. Everything's going to be accessible. One lane will be missing. So not quite sure which one it's going to be.
So what was the point of opening it at all? Just a tease? Hey, if you're coming in on the Ike, you're going to enjoy this for the next 2 weeks until we shut it down.
I don't know. They were doing some ramp work or something where they could open it. So they probably said, well, might as well, you know, give people some, you know, they're thankful for a couple of weeks before so we can get rid of a couple festivals in between.
The work, part of a long-running reconstruction of the Jane Byrne Interchange, expected to be completed. Ready?
Yes.
You're not ready. October 2022.
Oh, yep. What?
And that's 3.5 years late.
How do you run a project 3.5 years late? I know the weather was bad in April and May, but how could it be 3.5 years late?
I don't know. I'm sure they had contractor issues. They had foundation issues. They had structural issues. They had
planning issues.
A lot of stuff going. Well, that too. But so 2022, folks.
Maybe they ran out of concrete. Is there a concrete shortage?
There's some in the parking garage. Take the cement blocks out.
Yeah, exactly. So consider yourself warned. I know I am. Next. New injuries reported after a fire started on a Metra locomotive at Union Station. A Metra train filled with about 100 people was evacuated Thursday night. Fire started in the locomotive during boarding at Union Station. BNSF train 1285 scheduled to depart about 6:30. But at 6:20, reports of the fire started coming in. Cause of the fire is not known. I assume the majority of the injuries were people rushing off. Do we know, Steve?
I don't know that, no. I mean, it could be the evacuation part of it. Could be some smoke inhalation as well, because it was a very smoky fire.
Hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if some of it was smoke.
I can't think of a single time in all the years I've been in Chicago, 25-plus years, that I remember a fire on a Metra train. Anybody else remember a fire on a Metra train?
Nope.
Now, once in a while, there's now on CTA ones, there are
Well, the
fires
loop, there's open
yeah.
fire.
But not on
yeah,
a Metra.
Yeah, the loop, they've got burning barrels of trash and people singing R&B songs around them.
Mm-hmm. It's just weird with the engine. It's odd.
Next! Sarah Huckabee Sanders is leaving the White House at the end of the month. She must have found another job where lying's encouraged. I don't know what else that would be. President Trump announced her departure Thursday on Twitter, the presidential tweet having supplanted the role that a White House press secretary played in previous administrations. She'd been making like $180,000 to sit in the office and go, well, he does what he wants. He later praised her for her grit, her heart, her loyalty to him and his goals. Good God. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, good God, we're going to miss you. Next. Parkinson patients enlist in karate classes. This is a good story. Neurologists at Rush University Medical Center have partnered with Fonseca Martial Arts. It's a local karate school with 5 locations around Chicago to launch a karate program specifically designed for Parkinson's patients, mostly in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. An initial group of 19 with early to middle stage Parkinson's underwent a series of physical and cognitive testing before joining the class, and after attending the class twice a week for 10 weeks, they were retested and had overwhelmingly positive feedback on top of the fact that they're 60s, 70s, and 80s, and they will kick your ass if you look at them the wrong way.
I love this story. I mean, karate is so good for especially kids. They've found that it's really good for autistic children as well. It's just great physically, mentally, gives you confidence. Yeah, my son is a black belt, and it really did wonders for him.
Yeah, awesome. Well, if you think about it, too, if you got Parkinson's, late-stage Parkinson's, or in the later stages of your life, I should say, And this gives you your life back to some degree? Yeah,
you got to keep moving. Got to always keep moving.
Next. The International Basketball Association has a new champion, the Toronto Raptors, as predicted here by our NBA expert. You remember when Connor Gibbs. Who's Corey Gibbs? Why does that sound famous to me?
His brother.
Corey Gibbs sounds like somebody famous.
One of the Gibbs? BGs?
Oh, he was Andy Gibbs' younger brother. When Connor Gibbs predicted that Toronto would win. Toronto Raptors NBA champs for the first time in franchise history. A back-and-forth game last night ended 114-110 over the Warriors. And Steph Curry, Mr. Automatic, had a chance to take the lead and maybe win it for Golden State.
8 seconds to go.
Clanked it.
Yep.
Didn't see that coming.
He didn't have a great night, but then again, they were in desperation mode, especially when Klay Thompson got hurt and he tore his ACL.
So he's out for a year.
He's out for a year, and of course, Kevin Durant had ruptured his Achilles last game. So this could be the end of the Warriors' reign.
Right.
I mean, they've had a great run, 5 straight trips to the finals.
Next, a Canadian grocery store tried to shame people from using plastic bags. The store began a campaign this month with certain slogans on the plastic bags to try to get them from to be no longer popular. Up to 1,000 bags were printed with slogans like Dr. Taves Wart Ointment Wholesale. Another slogan was Into the Weird Adult Video Emporium. Another one was the Colon Care Co-op. Shoppers who chose to use a plastic carrier would not only be charged 5 cents a piece, they would theoretically walk out onto the street with all these cringeworthy messages on their bags. The bags revealed the true purpose of the campaign, avoid the shame, bring a reusable bag. The public hated this, right?
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing.
I mean, do you notice what it says on somebody's bag?
Not at all.
Not really. But here's the other thing. If you're trying to reduce the use of plastic bags,
don't provide them.
Yeah, don't make them available.
Yeah.
Especially printed ones.
It is pretty clever, though.
Yeah.
So, all right, there you go. That's your top 6 at 6.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Lou, next. Stand by for that.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Good morning, Lou Manfredini.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We got a great text question right off the bat before we even get to our first caller.
All right.
And, you know, you're the guy. We count on you for this information. Lou, this is the 847. How do I fix the cracked floor of a glass room? Can it be done before anyone plummets 100 stories to their death?
There's a great caulking called. Have you ever been up there on that platform?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
We were going to do a show from there. They invited us to do a show from there. We're not doing that now.
Yeah. I went out there once, and it's something.
John, do you know this? This glass box in the Willis Tower?
Yeah.
The floor cracked while you were out of town.
I know. I actually read it in the news, and I was laughing because I have been up there, and I stand in the middle of the room. I don't go to the window.
Not anywhere near the glass.
No.
So, I don't know this is going to end it because there's sealant on it, whatever that is, you know, crackled a year ago.
Right.
I'm sure they'll fix it, and I'm sure there'll be other idiots that'll be up there. I mean, other tourists and fine people that'll be up there and doing the same thing.
Right.
I mean, nobody's died yet.
No. It's very... When I was up there, I paid attention to how they did it all, and it is quite amazing how thick the glass is. But it is something to step out there, that's for sure.
Well, I was thinking about you, because I was thinking about the person who has to fix it. There's going to have to be somebody of the Mr. Fix-It vein.
Right.
Who is really good at glass at 100 stories high.
Right. Hey, Jimmy, I'll be in here. You go on out there. Go out there.
I'm thinking that's the job of the intern.
Right. It's like Marlon Perkins in Mutual of Omaha. Right.
I'll stay back here while Jim is eaten by a tiger.
Right. Let me tell you more about life insurance.
Mary's in Elmhurst. First caller is Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
What is your what's your question?
I've got a question for you. The dryer in our basement, it's a 06 Kenmore Sears. Now, the problem is it's not heating up to dry the clothes. What do you think that could be?
What do you think that could be, Lou?
Is it a gas or electric dryer?
It's a gas.
Okay. Well, there's a burner typically down. There's an access panel in the front of a dryer that comes off on the front, and that burner tends to be either in the lower right or left-hand corner, and there's an igniter that is similar to what's inside a furnace, and 9 times out of 10, it's that it's just not igniting, and that igniter needs to be replaced. It's a pretty affordable part, you know, maybe about $40 or so, and it is something that you could, depending on your comfort level of working with this kind of stuff, you can order it from an appliance parts store with a serial number, and it literally is one screw and one set of wires that you plug in. The other thing is,
guess what? Excuse me for interrupting you. That's rude. But I'm blind, and I'm moving out in a few weeks to Friedman, please.
Got it. Well, why do you want to fix the dryer then?
Well, I'm not saying I want to fix it. I'm just saying that I was just wondering about the cost and everything.
Well, you're a very nice person, but isn't this left for the people that are there next?
I don't know.
I mean, considering
I'm just thinking, like, what am I supposed to do if I want to do the clothes washer's working? All right, but how am I supposed to dry them?
Right. Do you own, and you own the dryer?
Well, my parents do. My mom does.
Well, if you were to call, you know, a repair service to come out and do that, more than likely the service call would be in the neighborhood of about $150 to $170 plus the cost of the part. So you're probably talking a total repair of somewhere around $250 if, in fact, it's the igniter. Now, again, there's a high likelihood that that's what it is. But they won't know until they come in and determine what's going on. An 06 dryer is not that old of a dryer, and those parts can absolutely be repaired, and you can save a lot of money. But
what's the lifespan of a dryer?
I mean, you know, I mean, to think you're going to get, I mean, really infinitely, Steve. I mean, because all the parts, there's not a lot to it. Dryers tend to last a long time, but there's bearings, there's belts.
So 13 years, that's fine.
Yeah, 15 to 20 years, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
You listen, Mary, I'm just thinking you got enough stress in moving to wherever you're moving next.
I know.
So
I
it's
know.
Nice
this
of you to try to.
Me bananas. It's my first huge move.
Well, and it's a nice.
Have you ever heard of a place called Friedman Place on the north side for blind and visually impaired people?
You know, I can't say that I have.
Well, that's where I'm going. It's on Maplewood. You know, I'm not sure if that's in a 57s. I don't have the exact address.
Well, that's all right. I mean, but I hope it works out great for you. And you know, like I said, we just want you to have less stress. Anyway, here's the deal. We're going to give you a couple of things, including a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. By the way, Lou, if it sounded like I said, screw it, leave it for the next people, what I meant was she's got enough going on.
Right, right.
And fixing that dryer for $200 doesn't seem like a good idea.
Right. I agree.
So, all right. So here we go into a beautiful summer weekend. Can we finally do summer stuff?
Yeah, I mean,
can we mulch? Can we whatever else?
Well, yeah, that should already be done.
Oh, hey, whoa, okay, back down.
I did that, and my weeds are already growing through my mulch because I didn't put the plastic
down. The weeds are really, there's so much moisture in the ground that the weeds are going to be really tough. The thing that I would really recommend to people is because of the moisture, and now, you know, we're going to have a nice warmer weekend. Bugs are going to be out to start to munch on some of the flora and the fauna, and it's a really good idea to spray some of that this weekend just as a pre-treatment. People that have hostas will tell you that, you know, they have problems in about 2 or 3 weeks where bugs will start to eat the hostas up and it looks terrible. And if you pre-treat that, there's a product that I really like called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. And it's an organic product that you can buy in a spray bottle. And if you can use it on edibles as well. So it's something you can use in your vegetable garden. And go ahead and spray the leaves of the plants to protect them. And that would be something I would absolutely do this weekend. I'm going to be doing it myself just to stay ahead of it, because then you'll get to July and certain plants will just look terrible because the bugs will eat them. In particular, box elder bugs will be munching on a lot of leaves around your home.
What about Dave's buckthorn?
He should spray that as well.
You know what? I got rid of a lot of it. I removed it, which
did
is
did you use the Uncle
great.
Bucks?
No, but I did. Captain but you also
recommended, oh, sorry,
Lou, for the hostas, you recommended 7, right?
7, or there's another product called 8.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you're just making stuff up.
No, he's not.
There's one
that doesn't work. Call 9. Yeah.
I'm going to do that this weekend.
By the way, a couple of people have texted and said, Mary's blind and you're giving her a desktop weather station. What's wrong with you, Steve? Several people actually have texted that. I'm well aware that I gave her a desktop weather station. I'm also well aware that she has other people in her life and they could talk about it or they could share the information with her. But thank you for your text advice. Now, having said that, I'm the guy who several years ago when Ann Maxfield worked on the show, a kid of the week was on the show. The kid saved another kid's life. Kid was choking on pizza. And the kid gave the other kid the Heimlich, saved his life.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't completely focused on that day, unlike all the other days. And I said, oh, you're such a great kid. Let me give you a Lou Malnati's pizza. Bring back all the trauma of that instance.
Smooth.
The kid was great about it, and I looked up. Ann Maxfield was laughing so hard she fell off her chair. Which gave her plenty of time on the intercom to call me an idiot. And by the way, she's right. Happy Father's Day to you.
Oh, well, thank you, and happy Father's Day to you. And it's my wife's birthday on Monday, so happy birthday to her.
That's big weekend.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Happy birthday to her. What are you doing for Father's Day, and how many kids will be home?
3 of my 4 will be home, mm-hmm. and we're just all getting together, having a little barbecue. My father-in-law will be joining us, and we'll have a nice time together.
All right, bud. Have a great weekend.
See you, bud.
That's Lou Manfredini, and we're coming back in just a moment with the news.
My buckthorn is exploding.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 6:48 now. John DeCoste back from Las Vegas and Atlanta and traveling all over America, making people laugh, doing his good deeds of helping people feel better through comedy.
Well, let's just clarify, I did not make people laugh.
You are in a stand-up comedy club owned by Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond, and you didn't make people laugh?
Oh, I did.
I mean, that was your job. You were hired to make people laugh.
Yes, and it went very well. Yeah. It was very nice. It was a lot of fun.
What hotel is that club in for when people go out in Vegas?
MGM Grand.
MGM Grand. What's it called?
Brad Garrett's Comedy Club.
Good name. So if you're out in Vegas and you want to see very funny people, there's always very funny people there. And John's going back to do another gig there in the spring.
Is he really as tall as he looks?
John's about 6'2".
Garrett. No, Garrett. Mr. Garrett.
Brad Garrett? Yeah.
He is. He's about 6'8", 6'9".
Wow.
Yeah.
Was your name up on the marquee?
Yeah, didn't you? Yeah.
I saw that.
That was the best part.
On Facebook, you posted it.
I normally don't post stuff, so.
Oh, you got to post that.
I know.
Did they spell it correctly?
No. It's D-A-C. It is, but they didn't put the space, and my father would have a fit that they didn't put. It's D-A space C-O.
Yeah, that's how mine is, too. Yeah. I hate when they don't put the space.
Yeah, but I've known both of you for 25 years, and I still don't spell your names the right way.
It doesn't matter. But it was cool. Like I said, taking the shuttle over from the airport, and the first thing I run into is this 30-story picture, my name up in lights.
Pretty nice.
It was pretty darn nice.
And our friend Rocky Laporte was out there as well?
Yep, Rocky as well. So that was great. We had a great time.
We've got a couple of shows coming up, and if you'd like to come out here, if you're not swinging by Vegas to see John, you can see John and me and some of our friends coming up. You want to plug those 3 shows that we have on the Cochran Comedy Tour 2019?
Yeah, and we kind of spread these out. This is kind of nice. So we went west in August, August 23rd. It's a Friday night at Zany's in Pheasant Run. Mm-hmm. That is you, me, and Mike Toomey. It's an all WGN show. That'll be fun. You can get tickets. Go to zanys.com. Saturday, September 7th. We're going a little north to Arlington Heights, and we'll be at the beautiful Metropolis Theater, downtown Arlington Heights. You can go to metropolisarts.com to get tickets there. And then Friday, September 27th, Southside, Beverly Arts Center, like 111th and Western, I think. And you can go to the beverlyartscenter.com to get tickets for that. And Bridget Gaynor, I think.
Bridget Gaynor and the entire Gaynor family apparently
we're
is going to
be
come
with
out.
Us. How fun is that? So
we haven't figured out what yet, but Bridget says she gets photo and script approval.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Bridget Gaynor coming in next hour, by the way. What are you doing for Father's Day? Playing fact and fiction with the family?
Playing fact and fiction. Okay. And we love to do that all the time.
Why don't we come back and do that next?
Oh, I'll do it.
Fact or fiction. You want to play for prizes, 312-981-7200. We'll come back. And last time we did this, your fact and fiction questions were very difficult.
I got five in a row where I won. They
the
lost.
Guy from Jeopardy called and he said, I don't know. I don't know. He just said, I don't know.
Fact or fiction. The central thing shall cause us addiction. The cause will write the fake one. Make your choice and then the game's done.
Right, so it's time for Fact or Fiction. Before we get to that, though, did you want to hand out the souvenirs you brought in from Vegas?
Oh, I did. I got this was kind of fun because I picked up something. First, for Joe, I got a little answering machine. It's a little recording thing that you put on your phone. It says, and I recorded on it. Hello, this is producer Joe Romano. If you have a question about Steve Cochran Show, I will be with you shortly. If you have a question and comment about any other show, stay on the line until that show is on the air.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. And what
I can't thank you enough.
That's yeah. You mean literally
so,
you
so
can.
Kind. Yeah,
it
literally.
Also, it also tells him to go to his website, can't help you if you can't help yourself.org.
It's actually .gov, but that's all right. I think I'll get that .org.
That's
soon.
Right. Yeah, that was my fun.
Joe does answer a lot of calls, and some of the questions can be a little tough.
That's pretty good. Michael Heidemann. Yeah, I got Idiot's Guide to Social Media.
Okay.
Ideas, grammar, punctuation, spell check, and most important, accuracy.
Now, these are not typical Vegas gifts, so you did some real deep shopping here.
No, I just walked down. These are all out on the shelves, so that's pretty good.
Steve, what about Dave?
Dave got a... This is kind of cool. I got a vial of... vial of water direct from the Fountain of Youth in front of the Excalibur Casino.
Oh!
Where every hour they put on a show, people of maturity drink and then perform Lord of the Dance.
Very nice. Can they get the legs up that high? They crack the hips?
No, that's why I apologize to you. I didn't actually pick it up because somebody had a stroke and they closed everything down. So
you couldn't have gotten me water from the Bellagio, from the fountains?
Hey, is that in Vegas?
Why would you question the gift that he didn't bring? Because you didn't actually pick these up.
No, I was going to, but there was
but
a reason.
These are the ideas you had for gifts. This is what you would have brought back.
I would have. Steve Grzanich got eight muffins that look like our eight planets with detailed topography.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome.
Also, a ninth muffin. There was a ninth muffin of Pluto that already had a bite taken out of it.
Oh, very
so that's
nice.
Kind of a cool thing that they do.
What about Mary Vanderbilt?
She got this was the best. She got a little battery-operated parrot. And it actually has her on-air expressions. What?
I love it.
That was pretty cool.
What does it sound like again?
Drive my kids
what?
Crazy. What?
That's it.
Did you get anything for Sandberg?
No. You should only get for people that are
on the show.
That are on the show.
Did you get anything for me?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. A two-year membership to the Royal Lynx Golf Club, including all social amenities and an extra large visor.
Well, very nice, because I have an extra large head.
Since I didn't buy any of these, I could pretty much get you whatever I wanted.
Again, these are souvenirs John thought about buying that he didn't bother buying, because they're too hard to carry them back, or what was your reason?
I walked, so I'm not, that's 1,800 miles.
It is a long ways.
I'm not doing that.
In my case, I'm glad I didn't get it.
Can I hear Mary's parrot again?
What?
Why?
Let's go to Fact or Fiction, and Liz is in Joliet. Liz, are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Here you go, Liz. The medical name for the butt crack is interglutin cleft.
The interglutin cleft.
Cleft.
The interglutal cleft.
Yes.
I was in a band called the Interglutal Cleft. I don't know if you know that. Liz, is that fact or fiction?
let's say fact.
That's true. It is. That's what it's called.
Come on.
What?
No, that's what it's called.
Your butt crack is called an interglutal cleft.
Like a cleft palate?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's disgusting.
Liz, thank you for making us learn medicine. Hold on. Let me go to Brian
And
so when a plumber bends over at your house, you can say, wow, what a nice interglutal cleft.
Yes. Or you could say, pull your pants up. That's you another option.
It is.
It is. See?
It's true.
My fact checker is Dave.
Yes. I'm sorry, not casting any
no,
doubt.
No, it's okay. But... You no, please, feel free.
Brian's on the phone. Brian, Safety Harbor, Florida. Where is that?
Good morning, Steve. I'm sitting between Clearwater Beach and Tampa.
Good
it's
for you.
Nice... Right there.
Wow.
Good for you. Good life.
Okay.
All right. So here you go. Fact or fiction time.
There you go. Front paws of a dog are called fontanel pads. The back paws are called bonadic pads.
Now see, that sounds totally legit, which makes me think it's BS.
I have to go with fiction on that one.
That is fiction. I made up both of those words,
those
too.
Those are very impressive.
No, yeah.
Very no impressive. Those are correct.
Are they correct?
Bonadic.
Yes. They are not. Dave.
Brian, are you sitting on your interglutal cleft right now? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, well, I have good news for you. Next time you get back to town, we have fabulous things for you to enjoy here, including general admission for two adults and two children at Sycamore Speedway, family-owned since 1963. Plan your visit now, sycamorespeedway.com. But since you're in Florida, we can also send you an app gift card. And you know what? Send them a MyPillow as well. Send them a MyPillow and an app gift card. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Order yours at MyPillow.com. Use the promo code WGN. And app gift cards, of course, you can spend those online at ABT.com or go to the store, which is fabulous.
What?
And Michael, take care of Liz with that as well. We'll come back with the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is right after this on 720 WGN.
What?
It's been tough to spin it out of the bunker so far. Oh, that's brilliant.
Look at this shot by Justin Rose. Nearly hold it out. Instead, he'll have that tap in for a par.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is 7:13. One of the rising stars in the game, in the coverage of the game, is Alexandra O'Loughlin of the Golf Channel. She basically runs the digital side. She's in charge. Aren't you, Alexandra? Aren't you in charge there on the digital side of the Golf Channel?
That's right, Steve, but I like saying I'm running the charge in the game.
Right, right.
My game's getting sharp.
Here's the thing. I know you're a good player because I've seen your swing. How good are you?
So I play off a two right now.
A two?
It's been getting down.
Wow. I don't know how you have time to play.
You've got to get a game going.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how you have time to play.
You know, for some reason, it actually benefits my job the more I play. So... I need to incorporate it.
We've got an old friend of yours in the studio. Ashley, say hi to Alexandra.
Hey, Alexandra. Did you get any sleep last night? I saw you text me at like 3 a.m. Chicago time, and I'm like, girl, you are in California. It is 1 a.m.
I'm on the West Coast now. I'm excited because I'm going to Ireland. So, you know, I don't need much sleep anymore.
Living
it's kind
though.
Of just with the dog, with how much travel.
Sure.
You know, I'm on the road about 27 weeks a year.
Wow.
With Golf Channel. So, you know, I'm just used to it.
Yeah, and you guys both went to school where, Ashley?
We went to Lewis University. But she graduated
on, baby.
Or was there 1 year before I.
Oh, so you're saying Alexandra's way older than you? Is that what you're trying to say?
Way older than me. Not at all. No way.
I'm much wiser.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
With all the maturity.
Yeah, we went to Lewis. Played college golf out there.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk.
WGN.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the U.S. Open. You know, you pointed out on Twitter how beautiful the Pebble Beach looks on TV. It probably does show better than any other golf course. You know, the ocean doesn't hurt. But we got a lot of big names on the leaderboard first day, so that's not a bad thing.
No, yesterday was really good, and it was good to see how the course was playing. Just a few players that I really loved seeing play well. With Golf Channel, I cover a lot of college golf. So Victor Hovland, OSU player, he shot -2 yesterday. And he's just going to be a really fun player to watch throughout these next few days and throughout the rest of his career.
Did he win the U.S. Amateur, Hovland?
Yeah, and he's a great player. I was with him when he made an ace at Eastlake Cup, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know who was with me when I made my only hole-in-one?
Were you solo?
Yeah, alone. That's exactly right.
Only...
That's the thing. Only a fellow golfer would understand that that's, you know, well, it's whatever. Justin Rose leads it at 6 under. Ricky Fowler's 5 under. And Ricky Fowler, is Ricky 30 now? How's that even possible? He still looks like he's 15 years old.
30, no major yet. Trying to get there. I mean, this could be the weekend.
And here's a weird one for you. Sergio Garcia, who's as whiny as anybody in professional sports, played okay yesterday. Shot 69. He's a couple under par. He says he has no chance this weekend. How do you shoot 2 under, end up on the leaderboard, and go, I suck, I have no chance? What's the matter with him?
I know. That's too bad to hear. And, I mean, Pebble Beach is a difficult course to come back from, but already sitting in a decent spot. So it is... Yeah,
you know,
that just shows the attitude in the game. Absolutely.
I don't know. Brooks Koepka, the two-time defending champs at 2. Matt Kuchar is at 2. We like Kuchar because he plays a Bettinardi putter. John Rahm's at 2. Hey, have you dealt much with Bryson DeChambeau? Is he as, is nerdy the right word? Big Bang Theory-y in person?
You know, I have walked a practice round a bit with him, and it does get very technical, especially on the greens. So I think that is the correct word to say. There's just a lot of addition and subtraction going on. And I've got a good education from Lewis, but I couldn't keep up.
Yeah, you said there'd be no math. Dave, Anna is here. Dave graduated from Northwestern, so Dave, you'd probably understand this better than I do.
Yeah.
But he actually has a slide rule in his golf bag, and he actually uses a slide rule as part of it. He also has a surveyor with him.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, what's the difference between that and, like, carrying a rangefinder?
I suppose that's probably true.
Right?
Jason Day's at 1 under. Tiger's at 1 under. Did you see Dustin Johnson's even par? Did you see Phil Mickelson miss that 18-inch putt?
It's been on social media just replaying. So, man, nobody is going to forget that. It's just, happened.
Did you ever miss a short putt because you were goofing on it and not paying attention or not focused on it in competition? I mean, those are the kind of ones, whether it's a club championship or a $2 match with your buddies, you go, what the hell's the matter with me? Just pay attention.
I know, and especially at Pebble, you've got the Poana green, you have the nerves, it's obviously one of those putts that you know you're just going to make, so it's a surprise when you just sort of let it slide by.
Jordan Spieth is at +1. Is he coming back? Is he going to be all right? What do we know about him?
Yeah, you know, he's just not being talked about as much during this event. You know, the sort of stars are going to be the Justin Rose and see what Dustin Johnson's going to do and Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele. But Jordan Spieth, he plays well in majors, so he's always going to be one to keep an eye on.
When Tiger won at Pebble, Dave, you and I are old enough to remember when Tiger won in 2000.
Yeah.
Tiger was 12. I think it was 12 under. I think that was a winning total. The second place is Ernie Els at 3 over. He won by 15 shots.
15 strokes.
This may be Ernie Els' last U.S. Open. He's in trouble to make the cut. He's at 4 over. And, the guy's had an amazing career. We just don't talk about him much anymore because he hasn't been around the leaderboard all that much. But he had a 4 over day yesterday. And, you know, the interesting thing about this as it plays out, Alexander, is the bottom of the leaderboard in the U.S. Open usually has a couple of big names. It blew up. Not this week. This week, all of the guys in contention or close to in contention played either really well or marginally well. So I don't know if that's a testament to the golf course, to the setup, or just the fact that they're amongst the world's better golfers. That's probably the answer.
Yeah, no, I like that they're the world's better golfers. When I was out at Pebble for the first time, played with head of USGA Mike Davis. And, I mean, I told you I'm a 2 handicap. I shot an 84 that day. We were playing from the whites, so obviously in pretty up from the championship tees. But Mike Davis told me, he said, if we were playing during tournament week under the conditions that we're going to see this week, it'd be easily 30 strokes higher.
30?
So it's just, wow. It's 30 strokes is what he told me at least.
Listen, you can't even wrap your head around it, Dave.
So what are we thinking as far as the cut, like maybe 1 or 2 over? Is that what we're looking at?
It depends on what happens today,
I mean, I know it depends, but you've got most of the big names are would seem to be safe, but like Tony Finau, you know, I think had a lot of momentum, three over par. So, I mean, there are a few of them, are there not, Alexander, who need to get going today a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is just totally going to depend on how the course plays. Day one, they had the greens rolling about 8 to 10 inches slower than we're going to see over the course of the next few days. So it's just how they're going to play the conditions as they keep going.
And Justin Thomas is two over. He's had a couple of injuries, but he's a fan favorite now, of course, and won a couple of majors. And if Justin Thomas can get his game going, he'll be around for the weekend as well. The lead at 6 under with Justin Rose, it's probably not going to be a lot lower than that on Sunday when the winner comes out of this thing. I don't think you're going to see a 12, a 13. You got a prediction on a winning score, Alexander?
No, but I have a feeling that somebody is going to go low. It's difficult to do. I mean, you look at hole 8 where guys are just going out and doubling time after time after time. So those good rounds can get lost, but I think we're going to see something good on the leaderboard.
The 8th hole, Dave.
Another slow round.
Dave, you love golf. You got to play Pebble. The 8th hole at Pebble, you hit a drive. The fairway ends about, I think it's only about 250. If you roll out past 250, you're in the gulch. There is this chasm, this opening to the Pacific Ocean that drops down to the beach. So the idea is you hit something, you know, in these guys' case, probably a 4-iron, 240. And then you got a medium to a short iron, medium for me, short iron for them, into a very tough to hit green. So you can make 6 there. You could have a putt for 3. It's just kind of a fascinating golf course, and some holes on the back that don't get a lot of attention that you ought to pay attention to this weekend, like a par 5 14th, which is about a mile and a half long and all uphill.
Yeah, and just being the sort of Golf Channel social media correspondent, I've always got my phone. I'm always sort of looking for what's gonna be a good little clip. And when I got to 7 and 8 playing, it's just those are the perfect holes that people want to see. It's so dramatic. 7 is that par 3 that's basically in the Pacific. It's the shortest hole that the players play all year. You know, I was playing it downwind and it knocked off 20 yards. It could just get so breezy. So you've just got an easy wedge shot, and it's maybe the most difficult shot on the course.
It's the green is not big. As you said, it's downhill. In that year that Tom Kite won, where the winds are blowing 30 and 40 miles an hour, there was a 3 or 4 club wind, which made it, instead of a 110-yard hole, almost a 200-yard hole. It's that kind of crazy. Anyway, Alexandra, thank you for coming on. Good luck with all your crazy continued success. And if you get back home, we want to play golf.
Yeah, that would be great. Keep up your game, and I will see you soon.
Yeah, well, that's a threat, man. You hear that? She's trash-talking me already. Yeah. Ashley, say goodbye to your friend.
See you later, Alexandra.
Have a good one, guys.
See you later. That's Alexandra O'Loughlin. 27 weeks travel a year. You know, and I was giving John credit for going from Vegas to Atlanta.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
A lot of people wonder, how can they help? How can I help? I want to help. I don't know how to help. What's an idea? How can I help? Well, Mike Split decided he was going to do a bunch of 5K runs. And he decided, after being inspired by a Santa run in Arlington Heights, he thought, well, maybe I can benefit a whole bunch of charities. And now he's doing 5Ks and organizing 5Ks in the Race for a Million, helping raise $1 million for local charities all over McHenry County. Mike, I have good news for you this morning.
Great.
You are the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, I'm totally honored, and I'm grateful to be on this show. Thank you very much. I am a great listener. I love your show.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you being on, and we're familiar with many of the charities you help. For instance, we do shows, and we'll be back at the Rouse Center on New Year's Eve. We've had the folks from TLS Veterans on many times, and I'm sure as this thing continues to grow for you, these multiple 5K runs that you do, more and more charities are asking to be involved.
Well, yes, they have been. Right now, we're just we have our hands full doing what we're doing. Of course, we have three races a year. The Rowell pretty much manages theirs now after we started it for a guy named Bob Blazer. He's a local icon, and he wanted the charity money to go towards the Rowell, which, as you know, is a treasure in downtown Crystal Lake. I know you frequent that as well.
Yep. Yeah, and there's some of you probably participated in the run in May. There's still two to go. Last Sunday in June is the McHenry County Patriot Run. You think about Patriots, by the way. Today's Flag Day, Dave. Everybody got to put their flags.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Last Sunday in June, McHenryCountyPatriotRun.org is a great way to register there, or the way to register. And then you got the Santa Run coming up in December.
Right. The veteran one, of course, June 30, as you said, is we'll have almost 1,000 flags lining the course. It's a 5-mile, 5K. That's always exciting. We give the money, as you said, to TLS veterans and also the VAC. And the Santa Run, we've averaged 888 participants for that one, Steve. And I usually have to order up 1,000 suits in April just to get them all here by November. So we're all prepared. Everybody that participates gets the beard, the belts, the pants, the hat. It's a sea of red. It's beautiful. It's very inspiring, and that goes to CASA and Big Brother, Big Sisters, and for several other agencies similar to that that all help the kids.
That is a cool idea. All right, so let's focus on the 5K, McHenry County Patriot Run, because we want this to be a full house, and it probably is going to be without any of our help, but why not plug it right now for us? So where's it going to be? When's it going to happen?
Well, it'll be June 30. The gun goes off at 7:30 sharp, not 7:31, not 7:29. We like it accurate.
Mm-hmm.
We want the cool weather in the morning. It starts at McHenry County College, so we have a closed course. It's a 5K, 5-mile. And all the veteran groups will be there and helping out and assisting. The flags, Steve, it's really inspiring. We put up almost 1,000 flags along the course, and it's breathtaking when you see the flags blowing in the wind and you're running through the course. Goes out in the country, then returns back down the Conservation District Trail, and then the money, as you mentioned, goes to the TLS vets. These agencies are, the state is in pretty much distress financially, and the funding is behind on for these agencies. So we just figured, hey, let's do something to pump some extra energy. If there's no money, there's no mission. So they can't fulfill their mission statements. So we wanted to create these events, make it happen. We had some great marketing from Harry Submergen and Vanessa Baker helping a girl named Chrissy and Erica in my office. We helped put these together. There's about 80 hours of volunteer time before the race even goes off. And when we have the gun goes off, we have 70 volunteers that show up to make the run go flawlessly. And thank gosh for we're always asking for sponsors, participants, and volunteers. So they're all a huge help for us, Steve.
It is the Run for a Million, the Race for a Million, multiple runs, the Race for a Million.
We're going to be at $1 million, I believe, in 3.4 years. We're averaging about $82,000 a year from these races.
Nice.
That's net after costs, expenses, insurance, and everything else. And boy, it's going to be fun hitting that million. It's something that we just are all inspired to do, and we're having fun doing it, Steve. Thanks for helping us promote it.
Of course, and the people of McHenry County appreciate your work as well. Mike Splitton, thank you for listening. Hold on. Give Mike a hearty high five. He's the most valuable person on the planet. And thank you for that. My friend Bridget Gannis here. She's going to come and make the show better because, we're not that good.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm glad the bar is low, but I can improve it.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
So you're saying John's back, the bar got lowered?
Hey, I'm sitting right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. They had headphones on. At 7:35, headlines first. We'll do that next. 7:20 WGN. All your NBC platforms. Harry Smith joins us now. Nice to have you back on the show.
Hey, I thought I was talking to Wally Phillips this morning.
You know what? If this audience would trade me for Wally in a Chicago minute.
When I started calling the 312 area code.
I know.
As a kid growing up down in Lansing, Illinois, the radio was on in the morning, and we had Wally Phillips on, so I thought...
Well, I'm sorry, Harry. I'm sorry I'm such a colossal disappointment to you.
Oh, no. That's not the point. I have a long, long history with you all. So
well, you know, honestly, I don't think you've been on with me since I was doing the afternoon show. And then all you could say...
Well, it's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, all you could say then was, I thought I was talking to Spike Odell.
I didn't say that.
Listen, welcome back. Welcome home. And it's always nice to have a nice boy from Lansing, Illinois on. And you know you're welcome here anytime. I hope next time you're in town, you'll come by.
That'd be great. TF South, class of 1969. Go Rebels.
Are you sure you weren't the Flying Horn Frogs? They weren't the Flying Horn Frogs. But, of course, Lansing, Illinois, home of the Lansing Lugnuts.
No, oh, no, Lansing, Michigan is. Okay, right. But they there should be Lansing Lugnuts in Lansing, Illinois.
I make a lot of mistakes on the show.
No, not really.
Harry Smith's nightly news with Lester Holt and the weekend news as well. I think it's a week. No, actually, it's just with Lester. Nightly news, one topic interviews with these candidates continues to be good fodder for the campaign. Oh, yeah, 2020 campaign. Bridget Gaynor's here. Bridget, I just want to say that this is probably a tough Father's Day for you it and is. Your family after losing your dad.
It is. The girls and I have been talking about it. My sisters, it's going to be tough. But, you know, it's a combo. My sister Sheila had a baby 2 days, actually, before my dad died. And we're christening the baby on Saturday. So,
well, that'll be a party.
It'll be a party.
And it's hard to get Irish folks from the South Side to have an excuse to get together and have a party.
Yes, there will be drinking because it's a christening.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, what kind of a BS christening would you be having if you weren't having drinks?
Right? Come on, please.
I mean, how are you honoring this baby?
Right.
There isn't like some sort of, you know.
Kid's not even Irish if you don't have at least something there.
I mean, you know, you're not really kind of really stepping up to the plate.
No, so, you're exactly.
So we're going to have the christening. That's going to be an awesome day. And then we're going to have Father's Day. So we're all going to be with my mom and, you know. But look, a lot of people are in this club we never wanted to join. But
it is tough, though. It is tough, and I just want to recognize that because,
I appreciate it. You
know, people bring it up at times. They go, okay, Steve, celebrate Father's Day. Congratulations. I don't have my dad with me anymore. I can tell you, I don't have either one of my dads, and I understand.
You started out ahead of the game because you had two.
Well, but I didn't know about the other one for a while. But my adoptive dad, who I never met, most of you guys that listen to the show know the story that my mom and my sisters and everybody that have created this great new family that seems to, you know, like us. They are fabulous. My little niece, Claire, not so little anymore, graduated from eighth grade yesterday.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I never met my adoptive dad. And the dad who raised me, hardworking Ralph Cochran, he's been gone now for 28 years.
Wow.
It's crazy. So, yeah, that's...
But Father's Day was always special because we'd get together and I'd go, Happy Father's Day. And he goes, thanks. You know, so we'd have those kind of long talks.
It was still waters run deep, is what I think you're telling us.
Jeez. Well, I think about the little that I know about your dad, other than his public persona, and he talked.
He
liked people.
Well, he loved people. I wouldn't say there was like lots of emotional talking. I mean, look, he was a guy who showed you who he was by what he did, as opposed to talking about it a whole lot.
Boy, I wouldn't host a talk show then, would he? Totally counter to what I do.
Yeah, I mean, he could carry a ball of a conversation for sure. But it no, I mean, look, he was the best. And as we know, when we're talking about it, a lot of it is I run into people. Just yesterday, I was talking to someone, and they told me some whole story about he was down at college, and he was making fake IDs, not for a bad reason.
No,
because to be hospitable and social.
Sure,
and
you're helping other people.
Fun. They want to socialize with each other and build community.
You're helping other people.
He's trying to build community.
Right. Passports as well.
By the way, he was ahead of his time, making fake IDs and fake passports before people thought it was cool.
So, but unfortunately, it was during the whole George Ryan truck, you know, commercial driver's license. Mm. So making fake IDs had taken on like a level of, it's not like you just want to get into a bar.
It's evil.
Nefarious stuff. And he said, you know, I looked ahead and I saw my life passing before me. Like, this is going to end really, really badly for me. And how am I going to... And somebody hooked me up with your dad. He got me in to do a community service project. Then he hooked me up with a lawyer. And then the guy that I met on the service project helped me find my first job, which is how I'm doing the job that I'm doing now. He goes, I think about your dad all the time.
What a cool story.
He didn't know me from Adam. And he just, you know, helped me out. And
he took him from a life of crime to a decent citizen.
No, I can't speak to what the guy's doing now. I can't. I mean, he may still be leading a life of crime.
He may be making even better fake IDs.
He's obviously better at it because he's not getting caught.
Yeah. But it is a nice story. And it's nice to hear stuff you didn't know about when you think you know all the stories.
Oh, right. And people are like, oh, I'm sorry. Does this make you sad? I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you love
hearing. I'm like wondering when you're going to stop talking about other things so we can go back to talking about my dad. Are you done talking about your own life? Because I'm...
Enough about that? What about dad? Now, my father wasn't a big talker, But he was old school, and every time I'd call home from all the places I've lived around the country, I've been thrown out of, this is how the conversation would go. You okay? Yeah. How's the weather? Well, it's sunny. Here's your mother. You okay? How's the weather? Here's your mother. You could write it down. It was like we're following the script. You okay? How's your mother? Or how's the weather? Here's your mother. Yeah. And kids then I talked to my
kids need stability. That's what he's trying to provide for you.
Right. And we had moments as a kid where we would always be able to talk, like during the commercial breaks on Hee Haw.
Right. But yeah. That way, it's guardrails. Yeah. It's guardrails for conversation.
And there were talks. Those are good talks, too, because it'd be like, so, Dad, yeah, give me a beer. And I go get him a beer. So, you know, we were tight. But he was a good, hardworking man. And I think it was my son, Ross. I don't know who else I was talking to about it, but he said, well, what'd you get for my dad? I go, well, here's what I got. The idea of what a man should be.
Mm-hmm.
Love of patriotism and country. And a hard work ethic. Because the guy worked his tail off his entire life.
Yep.
Now, he was not real patient with kids. When it came to kids like me, who didn't know one end of a box end wrench from the other. So my job to get him a tool when he was under a car, rebuilding it or whatever the case may be, didn't always go well. But as a testament, like you're talking about your dad, when my father passed in this little town of 2,000 people, there were about 400 at his funeral,
right.
All of whom had stories about how, you know, it was snowing and it was a blizzard and our furnace went out and I called your father and he walked 12 miles uphill through the snow with tools on his back and he saved our family.
He didn't talk a lot. Funny, you know.
Where's the furnace?
Yeah. What?
Where's the furnace? Here's your mom.
Yeah. We could use a lot more of that, though. I'll tell you.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was talking to Maureen about this the other day. There's too much talk. Saying this as a talk show host. There's too much talk.
You're like, I get paid to talk, and it's too much. Yeah.
People talk all the time. Shut up. Look, just shut up occasionally.
We have talked about this before, but I think when we track like the downfall of our civilization, it's going to start with the advent of cable news. Because now you have way too much time to fill. And it's okay just to have some silence.
Mm-hmm.
And now these guys have to make up things to say. So in order to make it interesting, then they have to gin up some sort of controversy, which gets... I mean, if you just thought to ourselves, why don't we give ourselves a break? Like, you know how in Lent, some people give up drinking? Why don't for some period of time, we just shut down cable news?
Well, how
just
many...
take a break.
And social media.
And social media.
Yes.
How many times in your life could you think of... And John DeCosta, John, Dave, you guys, Mary, you all the same thing, where your mother, usually, sometimes your father would go, I want you to sit there. And I want you to think about what you've done.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks about what they've done anymore.
No.
Nobody stops and thinks about what they've done.
We should all sit in the corner one day and just think about it. Just have a little meditation session about what we've done.
All right, we'll come back and think. But not right now.
With a dunce cap.
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We're just talking out there. If you like comedy, you can come out and see the Cochran Comedy Tour. Featuring the entire Gaynor family and people they haven't even met yet. When we go to the Beverly Arts Center at the end of September, we'll also be in Arlington Heights in early September and at Zany's at the end of August. We'll put all those up on social media.
That sounds good.
Let's do that.
I think that's a good idea.
But the funniest thing I've heard in maybe a year, Bridget just brought this up off the air, was yesterday the comedy stylings of Sarah Huckabee Sanders. When Sarah Huckabee Sanders and the announcement that she would be leaving the Trump administration, what did she want to be remembered for?
For, I think it was honesty and transparency. I want to be remembered for being a Sports Illustrated cover model. But, I mean, we'll see how it's going to work out for everybody.
It's just the entire slogan for the Trump administration should be, how stupid do we look? And by the way, it works both ways. You guys and us. Because you think we're that stupid, and you do. I don't get it. I don't get how she has any job anywhere ever. But she will.
I mean, isn't Fox News the place where, you know...
Well, she said she wants to run for governor of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Well...
It's a long-standing tradition of people that weren't real familiar with the truth.
Well, I mean, her dad was governor, and so maybe it's, you know...
Clinton?
Following in the footsteps.
Sure.
So,
without a doubt.
There you go. She's quick on her feet. I'll give her that much, you know.
Well, the thing that always amazes me about her, because I don't remember this... Sean Spicer was different because the Spicy Spicerman show was must-see TV every day. Because he was this little... you almost wanted to hug him, pat him on the head.
But he visibly, like, you could tell in his body language...
That he hated.
Processing. Like,
yes.
He was having a moral struggle, And he was trying to, like, reconcile, like, this is my job. Also, I think there's a big difference between the beginning of the administration when you're like, how's it going to end up here? What's going to happen here?
Sure.
Because there were a lot of people who thought, myself included, okay, this is bad, but, you know,
it can't continue. Okay,
because he doesn't really care about so much of this crazy social stuff. So maybe we'll focus on the economy. He has been in the business world. Like, okay. So I think there was a lot of people who are like, okay, wait, maybe this is just like we're getting settled.
Well, that's the thing about Sarah Huckabee Sanders, right? Yeah. Because the outrage of being called out for the lies she's telling you to her face was amazing to me.
Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Right.
You know, and this isn't a mother thing or a father thing. This is a parent thing. And I think the same thing about Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. I don't care what party you're in, Republican or Democrat. You have kids or grandkids. What are you going to tell them? Well, I had to say that because I was trying to keep my job. Really? Really? I had to say that because it was the right thing to do at the time. It's such a terrible message to send to the people that you love.
It's always, I think, it's a means justify the ends. I know that that might not have been good, but, you know, we were trying to save the earth and the world from the ongoing hordes of fill in the blank, you know.
And in Mitch McConnell's case.
Taxes, abortion, immigration. If whatever your boogeyman is, hey, guys, I had to do this thing that was a small bad thing. Because the big bad thing was so much worse.
In Mitch McConnell's case, he could say, I had to do that because your grandmother and I were getting $60 million from a shipping company. Google it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Stick around. More on entertainment's coming up.
Good.
Much more to talk about here. But first, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve's there. He'll talk to you next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than one night. Yeah, Hollywood. Or kiss me, kiss me good.
Bridget Gaines here at Cook County Board. She's our special guest on Moron Entertainment. Though she is not a moron, she is welcome here anytime. You're a moron, Dean. I'm a moron.
So
you're entertaining?
Like, yeah.
Would you like to be a moron, though?
Sometimes.
We could make you an honorary moron.
You don't want to never be a moron. Because I'm
a moron.
Then you
you're
would kind of
moron.
Open yourself up to so many other things, many of which are fun.
Well, you know how the queen knights people?
I don't.
You know,
I know there's
the
sword
yeah. on tap, tap, yeah. Shoulder yeah. tap on the head. We have just an I'm with stupid T-shirt that you put on and a point straight up at you when you're named a moron. And John was named a moron. John received no. moron status.
I did.
It's quite an honor.
Oh, my God.
Is it
I
like
cried.
The Mensa Society? Or like the other,
it's the Densa Society.
The Densa Society.
Densa yeah. Society.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You should call it the Densa Society instead of moron.
Don't think I'm not writing it down right now because we're going to be using it.
Copywriting all this.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Good morning. Morning. Happy pre Father's Day.
We were talking about that with Bridget a little while ago. For those of us who have lost our fathers, you always think about your dad.
That would be me.
And me as well. But on Father's Day, we're having like a pre-Father's Day because my son, Ross, he's got his own Father's Day now.
Right.
He's got Abigail yeah. Grace, another right. little baby on the way.
Yep.
And somehow... he gets to have time with his family. I don't know what that's about. So we're doing a Father's Day
say,
thing
no,
today.
I'm the one. I'm the one.
Right, right, right. So we're doing a cool Father's Day thing today that we've kind of gotten to. We're going to play a little golf and have some
nice.
Dinner.
Very nice. Oh, for those who, you know, just to bring the show down a little bit, you're talking about, you know, those who have lost their fathers, which my father passed away, but also my stepfather. I had a fantastic stepfather. Also, there's a video that Budweiser put together of three people talking about their relationships with their stepfathers. I am in a bucket of tears watching this thing yesterday. It's so
it's nice.
Beautiful oh, wow. and emotional that
it's very
just
nice.
reminded me of my own stepfather and my own father. So
was it which bucket was it? 1 through 6. Which one?
It was number. It was number 6. Yeah, it was. Okay. It was bucket number 6.
You had to nail the big one. By the way, I also want to recognize the fact that John, you lost your dad.
Oh yeah, this would be the first Father's Day.
First Father's Day without your dad.
Yeah. So we usually always took him out for breakfast on Father's Day. So it'll be a little weird on Sunday. Yeah. But
they say it gets easier.
You know what it does? I mean, honestly, I mean, Dean, I'm sure you found
they
that.
Say you get used to it.
No, I mean, you can still be upset and sad and you miss him and all that, but right. time doesn't True. Heal. Time is time.
Makes it less bad.
Well, you know, somebody told me once that when you get emotional, and I was like, my emotions were ripped to shreds after I watched this video yesterday. But somebody had told me that kind of discomfort is the measure of how much you love that person.
I think that's true.
So it kind of made me feel a little better that even though it was.
What you're saying is love equals misery. If you can't show misery, I think you didn't really love them.
Yeah. Love hurts. Yeah, yeah.
It makes you feel a little better when you start to feel bad. It's like, wow, it's been over 20 years with 20, 30 years with both of you. And so the feelings never go away.
Well, let's be honest. When we're gone, don't we all want people to cry, miserably cry with their eyes out because they miss us? Come on!
Absolutely.
Sure. Pony it up. Please.
I mean, look, I've abandoned any idea that my kids will, like, visit my grave. So I will take tears for sure.
I'm going to haunt people.
Well, there is that. Pat Brady's daughter told him the other day that said, listen, Dad, if I'm in town, I'll probably come to your funeral.
Sweet.
It is sweet. Cuba Gooding Jr. is in the news after his little fluffing incident this week that we don't really know what to make of this. And Dean's got a bunch of movies to talk about coming up as well. And it's Flag Day, Dean. Happy Flag Day.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Fly your flags. Fly your flags, people.
I am.
Yes, not your freak flag. Fly your American flag. It's a totally different flag.
I misunderstood.
Yeah, we're talking about the main one.
Yeah, because the W flag had to come down last night, so now we can have the other flag up.
Yeah. And hopefully you drive around today, you'll see flags all over the place. You know, people need to remember Flag Day. Anyway, Dean, we also have tickets to give away to West Side Story. How would you like to do this?
Go to West Side Story?
No, I would like to
I'm
give
already
away...
contractually obligated to be there.
How would you like to give away the tickets?
Oh,
to go to West Side
Story? How would I like to give
them
away?
Yeah, we have tickets to give away.
Well, I would like, I think I'm all for just a simple, like, you know, caller 10.
Caller 10. All right. Pair of lawn tickets to Ravinius. July 12th, you'll see West Side Story. The score performed by the CSO, and Dean will do a pre-concert
dance.
It's a pre-concert discussion.
It was going to be a discussion, but I've done an oral, a visual interpretation of one of the songs that I'll be performing.
Get tickets at Ravinia.org and win them now. 10th caller, 312-981-7200.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Bridget Gaynor, special guest. Well, you know, she's our Friday friend. And Dean is here for more on entertainment.
Sounds fairly illicit, but no, it's just for the radio.
Well, John DeCoste is here, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mixing it up.
And John, texter and Dean from the 209 says, you guys are good. I'm walking around trying to stay focused on the tasks that lie ahead, but what I'm doing instead is squawking. What? Like a bird. And the reason for that, Dean, is because John meant to buy a lot of souvenirs on his recent stint doing stand-up in Vegas.
Yeah.
But he was tired and didn't want to carry him back. And what were you going to get, Mary Vanderbilt?
It was a battery-operated parrot.
And what did the parrot say?
It was a what?
Nice, huh, Dean?
It's nice.
And you were going to get Dean a copy of Vegas Magazine from your hotel table? Yeah, and you forgot to bring it?
Yeah.
Actually,
nice.
I have a video of we sang the Dean Richards theme song with high-kicking girls.
Oh,
the Rockettes.
Showgirls.
Oh, showgirls. Nice.
I wondered, I saw John post on Facebook, and I wondered if he now does the Dean Richards song live in concert, and if, since in Vegas with leggy showgirls.
I think Celine Dion closed out her run with that.
She did. Yeah. Her last song was "I'm Going to Do" the Dean Richards song, and then she pounded her chest.
Cuba Gooding turned himself in.
Yeah, everybody thought that may not happen yesterday because his attorney was saying that there's a video of the alleged event where he is accused of grabbing a woman's breast at a nightclub over the weekend. His attorney says that the video shows that nothing happened, but police in Manhattan went ahead and did charge him yesterday. He volunteered, turned himself in. He was booked and then released. But his attorney is still saying he's surprised that police are doing this because the video will show otherwise. So now it's going to go through the process, the judicial process. Cuba Gooding says he has faith in the judicial process. So we'll see what happens.
I've never understood how he hasn't been able to follow Show Me the Money with anything that really stands out as a fine performance. I know he played OJ in the miniseries, but I don't know. It's been a weird career, I guess is what I'm saying.
He's made some odd choices, that's for sure, as a lot of people have who have won Academy Awards. But
think about the radio stations I went to work for. Well, talk about odd choices.
Yeah, but after Jerry Maguire, he was in a movie called Radio. Mm-hmm. About a he was a coach, and there was a handicapped kid who hung out at the ballpark, and he kind of takes him under his wing, and he was very, very good in that. Mm-hmm. And he was in a movie with it was a movie about he was a naval recruit.
In the deep, Man of Honor.
Man of Honor. He was very, 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 very good in that, Man of Honor.
Robert De Niro was this racist captain, I guess.
Right, yeah. But I mean, there have been, you know, like Snow Dogs may be one of the worst movies of all time.
Didn't he do the movie, too? He was on a gay cruise. Wasn't that his team, too?
Yes.
Boat Trip. Just bad choices.
There was something like the Cannonball Run where they were racing around the world or something with Cuba Gooding Jr.
I don't know. I think he's fun.
He wasn't nominated for that?
I don't mean this incident, by the way, but I think he's fun on screen. I think he's a talented guy. It's amazing to me that the choices have been kind of a bad run.
Sounds
all right.
Like inside the actor's studio. Inside the Cuba Gooding acting studio right now.
He hasn't probably gotten that invite, I guess.
If you were a tree.
Shaft. I understand Wolf Blitzer is playing the lead in Shaft this time. Is that right?
No, you've gotten bad information once again.
Oh, sorry.
It is Samuel L. Jackson back as Shaft. Believe it or not, the remake that he did of Shaft from the original with Richard Roundtree was almost 20 years ago. I was shocked when I looked at the dates on that. But he's back with Richard Roundtree in this movie, and also a young actor named Jesse...
Smollett.
That would be completely different. Completely different.
Jesse Smollett's in a fake movie.
Jesse, why am I blanking on his name?
Jesse
Usher. Jesse Usher is the young actor's name, a newcomer. And they are three generations, grandfather, father, and son, that are working on a crime that's going on in Harlem. It's got all the action that you'd expect in a Shaft movie, but I laughed my head off at this movie. It is intentionally funny. The writer of this film is the producer of Black-ish. So it's got kind of a Black-ish kind of comedy vibe to this movie. Very smart, I think really well written. I thought it was a riot. And, of course, you know, fun to hear that Shaft music played throughout the film. Brings back a million memories. So I gave it a B+. I wound up liking it.
Samuel Jackson, and I didn't realize this till the 60 Minutes piece, which I think has just been in the last year, the all-time highest box office gross for an actor, period. He's been in 77 films since 1990. His movies have grossed $6.7 billion.
Yep.
And his films around the world, $15 billion. The 6.7 is domestic. $15 billion. Top grossing actor.
He is in most of the Marvel movies.
I think he's in every movie. He's literally in every movie made in one form or another.
Star Wars franchise. Yeah. He's in quite a few huge franchise movies, in addition to having lots of hits on his own.
Remember how good he was in Bridges of Madison County?
He was good. He and Clint Eastwood are magic on screen together.
I am tired of your mother effing poems.
Oh, Snakes on the Plane. I forgot about that.
That's right.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So we don't know if Shaft's any good.
We know that Shaft is good. It's very funny.
It is good.
Yeah,
okay.
B plus on that one. The one that's not any good this week is Men in Black International. Will Smith and
is that like Men in Black 11?
It actually is Men in Black 4. It's the fourth in the franchise. But when I sat through this one, I felt like I sat through 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. It was painful to watch. Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones are no longer part of the deal. Now it's Liam Hemsworth, the person that Steve is recognized and mistaken for on the street.
All the time. People yell, Liam! No, it's Steve.
And Tessa Thompson, who was in the Creed movie. She was the love interest in the Creed movie, who John, interestingly, is most often confused for.
That's right.
On the street.
That's absolutely right.
They are the main characters now. They're still fighting aliens. They still have high-powered weapons. There is not one thing original in this movie. The dialogue is often forced and ridiculous. So I gave it a Dean's List C-.
Not good. Late Night.
Late Night is actually quite clever. It's written by Mindy Kaling.
Oh, I can't wait to see this movie.
With Emma Thompson. Yeah. Who doesn't love Emma Thompson?
They co-star in this movie. Emma Thompson plays a veteran late night talk show host who has never had a woman on her writing staff and begrudgingly hires the Mindy Kaling character, really out of sort of a quota diversity gesture, reluctantly brings on the first woman in this, boys club of comedy writers.
And then the whole world gets better? Is that how the story ends?
And the whole world. We are the
then
world.
Then all of a sudden, opportunities open up. It's all great. And she was like, why didn't I do
this 30 years ago? Why'd you have to ruin the ending?
It's this.
Nobody would have seen it coming.
This Iron Lady of comedy and this naive millennial who thinks she can change the world battling. But more than that, it's really a story about what a lot of women, I suspect, face in the workplace.
Do you suspect that?
Well, not being a woman myself, that's all I can do, is the obstacles that women face when they're in a boys' club workplace.
But here's the thing. This is a good question, right? Yep. Is it tougher for women to work for women at times than it is for men? And probably for different reasons.
Look, I think it's tougher to work for somebody who's got their first step on the ladder and who hasn't solidified their position, their power, their security in keeping the job. That's a hard person to work for. It could be a man. It could be a woman. You could have a woman who's rock solid in where she thinks her future's going, and so it's a breeze. And you could have a man who's insecure about whether or not they're going to be able to, break into the power structure. So that's the hard part.
This place has been, way ahead of the curve. And it's funny you think about the history of WGN, but way ahead of the curve at having women in management. Mm-hmm. There are women program directors here running the entire content side of this place going back to what, Dean, the late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, before I started working here, there were, and, several of our bosses were women here, yeah.
Yeah, and I heard stories from women who work for those women who said they were very hard on them. I've seen women in other positions who seem to be harder on women than they were on the men.
I also think we're used to taking orders from men, and a lot of people don't like to take orders from women because it's just, I don't know, whether it reminds you of your mom, you're just not used to it. Women are trying to find that balance between, what's the inch-wide hallway I have to walk down that I can be tough and get stuff done, but I'm not, someone who becomes unlikable.
It's a double standard, right? I mean, a loud, confident woman at work is a bitch. A loud, confident man at work is assertive.
It's Steve.
It's me.
He's doing his job. Look, yeah, I think it's a combo platter of things, and as time marches on and more people work their way up the pipeline. But, the sad commentary is even though women have been 50% of the workforce entering for a generation, they're still only 3% of CEOs. And so is that the aspiration? But, it's something's happening in the middle.
I blame Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
This movie.
I think it's actually Mindy Kaling's fault.
Yeah, this movie explores many of these things and is based on what Mindy Kaling went through when she became a writer on The Office. So clever, very smart. Emma Thompson and Mindy Kaling are really good in the movie. I gave it a Dean's List B. And Steve, you know me. I love a good zombie comedy.
Mm.
And we also have that this week. This is actually a hilarious movie. It's a little bit sloppily put together, but it doesn't matter. It's worth seeing. The Dead Don't Die. Bill Murray, Adam Driver. We've got Steve Buscemi in the movie. We've got
no makeup on Buscemi, by the way.
Iggy Pop is in the movie. It's an amazing ensemble of people. Everybody playing a deadpan, hilariously funny. It's The Dead Don't Die. It's only in a few theaters, but worth checking out.
Didn't it open the Cannes Film Festival?
It did.
Yeah,
it sure did.
Right.
Last question. Concerts this weekend?
Yeah. There's one tour. Dead and Company are at Wrigley Field this weekend.
Is it all dead? Everybody's dead.
Survey. It goes with my zombie theme that I've got going on. That's going on at Wrigley Field. But also there is a tour that's called the Mixtape Tour that's at the Allstate Arena this tonight and tomorrow. New Kids on the Block. Settle John down. I know he's excitable.
Who are neither new or kids.
And,
I want it that way.
Salt and Peppa.
That's right.
Debbie Gibson, Naughty by Nature, and Tiffany are all performing.
It'd be so good if they were all together. Tiffany, Naughty by Nature.
Oh, I thought he was saying that was a mashup. No, that's not the mixtape.
I'd like to hear Tiffany do OPP. I think that'd be good.
Hey, you know me.
You on a radio Sunday?
Sunday with Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, great.
All right. That's cool.
Thanks, man.
Happy Father's Day.
And to you all.
Thank you.
All right, see you. That's Dean Richards. Are you with us? Are you leaving?
I'm wrapping up.
Look at you. You gave yourself the wrap sign. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Happy Father's Day to both of you guys, all of you guys.
And please talk to your family about that big show they've committed to at the end of September.
I told you, I'm going to have to wait till like mid-christening, couple, you know, halfway in.
Little buzz. Dean Richards, sponsored by Ravinia. Headlines next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, hello out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight.
Yeah.
Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps, and the players bump, and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
Everybody!
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
It's catchy, it's zippy, but honestly, second, if it took him more than 5 minutes to write this...
Wow.
Let's go to the phone here because Brad Jones is standing by. And Brad invented a little something called Hockey Fest. And while the rest of the country is focused on the draft, you can be focused on having a great time at Hockey Fest. And good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
By the way, for being on, you have to sing that song in and complete. You want to start now?
Tom Connors. You know, you can start with that one, then you can do Sudbury Saturday Night. You know, I'm from the entertainment side of the business, so we did it. My father works with Stompin' Tom in Canada for many, many years. That well, is like so funny that you played that song.
Well, like I said, it's the greatest thing ever written. All right, so
somebody somewhere just got 15 cents for you playing that song.
Exactly. All right, Hockey Fest. Explain what it is and how families get involved here.
Hockey Fest, this is the first time on American soil. We are with the Blackhawks, have been amazing partners. About a year ago, we came to Chicago and took a meeting with the top brass, and they said, get in here. So next weekend, June 22nd and 23rd, two tractor trailers show up and unload 15 true, real sets of rink boards out in the parking lot that we play on 50% to scale NHL ice rinks that are with asphalt minus the ice, and they're 42.5 by 100, and it's 3-on-3 format, all ages 6 to 75, men and female and kids and adults. It's just what it is, Steve. It's a touring hockey festival. You know, I'm a huge hockey fan, grew up in Canada.
Sure.
And we have blow up games for kids to play mini sticks and hardest shot competitions, and there's food trucks and there's DJs playing music, and it's an old school style carnival just based around the game of hockey. And we're thrilled to be in Chicago and thrilled that the Blackhawks wanted us to come to the States and start it here.
Well, nobody gets hockey better than the Blackhawks. I mean, the Blackhawks have reinvented hockey in this town, as you know. Three cups didn't hurt. But on top of three cups, the organization has always gotten it right. So I'm excited that you're excited about this, and it's going to be great fun for folks. And you know how big hockey has blown up since the resurgence of the Blackhawks here. So there's going to have to be a first-come, first-serve for these rinks, I would assume, for the tournament?
Yeah, so what it is, it's a registration. So it's $495 to register a team of up to 8, as I said, all ages. And we've still got a few spots left. Registration closes next Wednesday at midnight. the Dave Boland is actually a very good friend of mine. We play golf together on Wednesday afternoons in London, Ontario. So I know he was Mr. 17 second here with the Blackhawks. So that's a nice tie-in for us. And certainly he was helpful in getting us in front of the right people. But and I know, that, Steve, that you're a big golf fan. And David Faraday is a close friend of mine and client. And he's a part. He and his wife are a part owner in this venture.
Oh, that's great.
So there's a little tidbit for you as well.
On U.S. Open weekend.
You got it, on U.S. Open, exactly.
So, Brad, let's say that there's somebody who has never played street hockey, but likes the idea. Yeah. And not as, Steve, I don't know if you want to form a team with me, maybe John. And
we play, you know, when I was a kid, I've told you the story before. Oh, by the way, when I was talking earlier, I've gotten a bunch of texts, and Maureen even texted me and said, you referred... This is a totally off topic here for a second. You referred to your adoptive dad as someone you never met. How's that possible? I don't want to confuse people who continue to bring this up. My birth father is the person I didn't meet. My adoptive dad, obviously, I knew for a while. So just clearing that up as an extension of Father's Day week, well, I would remember it. Because with my ADD, Brad, I'd forget it for the rest of the show, and I'd be getting hate texts all weekend. All right, now, Dave, what was your question? Because I played street hockey.
Right, I'm sure you did. And I played.
Because we couldn't afford
bit.
Ice or skates.
Right, or a street. You did have a street.
We had a street.
Yeah. So, but Brad, somebody who's never played this game, I mean, is there a level at which they could play it at least be competitive, or is it something you have to have a little bit of experience?
No, you don't have to have any experience with it at all. You just have to have a pair of sneakers, and I mean, even the Blackhawks, we have sticks if you didn't have proper sticks. But it's all, you know, levels, and from, you know, the house league kid or the first year player to AAA or junior hockey players that want to come out and play with their friends, and you know, it's the rawest form. You know, we grew up in Canada. You played ice hockey in the winter, and you played street hockey in the summer with your neighbors and your friends. And basically, I'm a big believer in what's old is new again, and you see it with television shows and all this kind of stuff. So we think, and we're seeing huge success in Canada, and as I said, we're excited to come to the States with it, but all levels can play it. And, you know, you run around with your friends or your neighbors or your work colleagues, or, you know, there's co-ed teams, and it's just a great atmosphere.
It's fun.
As I said, it's just really fun. And then listen, it gets heated. I mean, there's some adult divisions. These guys are close to pro players, and they take it very serious because there's cash prizes for the winners for the adult divisions. And but yeah, it's you know, and if you're not a player and you just want to come down and check out the festival and hear music and have some great different food options and watch, as I said, 6 to 75-year-olds have a great time, you can come down and just be, you know, be a spectator. And these rink board systems are like nothing else. These aren't hay bales or old pieces of fence.
Yeah. I mean,
these are, you know, designed for this. And as I said, they're 50% to NHL rink size, and there's 10-foot netting round, so the ball stays in play. All the referees are licensed referees, so you have great refereeing for all the games. And every team, you know, you get 4 games guaranteed, and 70% of the teams make the playoffs on Sunday. And I would encourage people, if you're a hockey fan or a Hawks fan and you just want to get out on a Saturday and Sunday, you come down and you see some of the level of, it's fun to watch the kids. I mean, you know, screaming and laughing and having a great time. You know, big thing for me was I have 2 sons, and I see kids nowadays spending too much time, you know, playing video games or on their computer systems or iPads. And the reality is, get outside and have some great activity, and it's just a fun setting. So that's what Hockey Fest is all about.
If you're under 9, it's 4 players and a goalie. If you're over 9, it's 3 and a goalie, yes?
Correct. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. And by the way, the Blackhawks are excited to offer every tournament participant a voucher for a complimentary ticket to the Blackhawks' 3 preseason games leading up to the 1920 season. And every team who wins its division championship get a Blackhawks hat for each player and an invitation to an exclusive MB Ice Arena event immediately following the tournament's conclusion. Here's the really cool part. Every team is guaranteed to play at least 4 games, and 70% of the team is going to make the playoffs.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
So well done by you, man. That's a lot of figuring out structure and different things. It sounds like fun.
it's a great, we've got a great team, and as I said, Blackhawks have been first class, and it's going to be an annual event, so that third week of June, people can count on us at the United Center, and it just grows from first year, so we're thrilled to be coming to town.
And there's only a couple of slots left, so make sure you register your team if you're interested, because we're talking about next weekend.
You got it.
All right, thanks for coming on, Brad. I appreciate
it.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate your time. Have a great day.
There you go. He's kind of a big shot in the sports world too, Brad Jones. So it's nice of him to come on.
Very nice.
I've got him representing you in your next deal.
I appreciate that. I like the way you say next deal.
Yeah, the split is interesting. It's going to be 10% for you, and Brad and I split the other 90.
Oh, that seems fair.
Yeah. It's kind of a reverse thing.
Anyone that's a fan of the Cubs, that's been a lifelong fan, I think you're going to find some new things maybe you didn't know, or you're going to remember a lot.
Yeah.
I think I bring up a lot of stuff that you might be like, man, I can't believe I forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a Cubs fan, if your kids or your, you know, anyone of your relatives are just starting to get into the Cubs now,
This
is a perfect primer for you, a history lesson.
Don't let anyone say that it's just a game, for I've seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're a field. The first time you walk into Wrigley Field, our heroes wear pinstripes, heroes in blue. Give us the
Jack Greenberg talking to John Hansen there, and I think you know the song. If these walls could talk, stories from the Chicago Cubs dugout, locker room, and press box, and John Greenberg working the Athletic now. Congratulations on that. We're talking about it off the air. And I think you guys are doing great stuff.
Well, thanks a lot. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, I've been a fan of yours for a long time, so I'm glad to have you on the show.
That's awesome.
And as
I have one fan.
This guy, well, your mom. This guy over here, Super Joe Romano, is a big fan as well. And he, by the way, White Sox diehard. So the idea that he would promote a Cubs book, he had to throw up in his mouth a little bit, but that's how much of a fan he is of what you're doing, too.
Well, he's a professional.
Yeah, that's it. It's tough, though. It's tough to find stories that haven't been told by the Cubs. And what you've done in this book is you found new angles to talk about a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just took it through. I wanted to start through after the 03 season.
Yep.
I feel like we might have talked about the 03 a little bit, a few documentaries made.
Once or twice.
Right. So, you know, just going into, like, after that offseason, that was when they realized what they had, right? The owners of the Tribune Company was like, hey, we could actually try to win.
And Dave, I know you're as well. We were in a few of those meetings because, you know, having the Cubs on the radio for 85, 90 years, we're going, well, how do we maximize this on all levels? And the optimism starting in 03, going through 9?
Yeah, when the Lou Piniella era.
Yeah, I mean, we thought, this is it. The runs on.
Oh, 100%. I mean, think about that. I think about that a lot because I moved here in 03, and I'd lived here a couple summers before, so I was familiar. I'd vended at Wrigley Field.
Oh, is that
summer.
Right?
Yeah.
What'd you sell?
I wasn't 20. I was only 20, so I'd sold everything but beer.
That's a great story to tell, though, right?
Yeah, it was fun, man.
And that's real work. People don't understand. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of the Athletic, we actually have we're doing like short films now, like documentary type stuff, and we're doing one on the beer vendors.
That's a great story.
And it's coming out in about a month or so.
That's a great
story.
The
old school guys have been there since the 60s.
Yeah,
we interviewed a bunch and followed them around. And I think about that because I still have I did it 20 years ago this summer. Summer 99, and just...
Still have your ID?
Yeah, I do. I do. I put it on my Instagram when we were doing the story, and it's going to be in the film, because they interviewed me. But yeah, so like, I think about that year a lot, and I think about that offseason of 03 going into 04, and just the crazy optimism here, and how that season is kind of where I start, really encapsulated the Cubs experience, because it was sky-high optimism, they had the pieces, and then it was just... what a bitter collapse that year was.
But what people don't remember, and we've talked about this a million times, forget about Bartman for a second.
Yep.
It's game 7. Woody's on the mound, right? Woody hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the second or third inning?
Yeah.
There has never been that kind of noise on the north side before or since, and I'll throw the World Series in as well. And then all the air got let out of the balloon.
Absolutely. I mean,
but it's what you said. It's the perfect analogous situation for the Cubs. Yes, no. You know, it's right there. You know, we got it done, and now we don't.
And that's what the next few years were like, right? Because then you go, the years after 04, 05 was mediocre, 06 was terrible. Then they build it up again, you know, obviously thinking the Trib's getting sold.
Yeah.
They want to sell the Cubs.
Well, Piniella became a friend, and bringing in Piniella, a proven winner.
Absolutely.
He thought this could be done, and then two quick outs, and his mom got sick, and you're going, oh, boy, we're back on a dark side.
Right, and, you know, I talk about that offseason. I talked to Hendry, who went in a little bit more on the Lilly story, which is like a classic now winter meeting story that Hendry has to talk about every year when he signed Ted Lilly, and he was in the hospital, and he kind of went into what really happened and the conversations he's having with doctors. Right, you sign Lou, proven winner. You get Soriano. I mean, it was just everything. It was boom, boom, boom.
Nobody knew Zambrano was nuts at that point.
He was ascendant.
Yeah.
You know, you move past the Pryor and Wood stuff, that really kind of, that dark cloud, and it was this new beginning. Oh, wait, everyone in the world thought they were going to win it that year, the perfect symmetry. And I had a really good talk with Ryan Dempster for this book about how he felt starting that game, game one of the 08, when he walked seven. And he now, in retrospect, 10 years later, he could talk about how he let his expectations get the best of him.
Mm-hmm.
And how he really, you know, he used to sit in the bullpen. He was in the bullpen. So he became friends with the fans there, like personal friends with people that sat behind the bullpen. And he's like, I'm thinking about these people. I want to win it for this guy. I want to win it for this person. I want to win it for the clubbies. You know, and he's like, that was just the worst attitude to have, and it ruined me. He's like, it ruined me that start. And he's like, it really haunted him, he said, for a long time.
You know, I know you've come across this, and again, the guest is John Greenberg. The book is If These Walls Could Talk. Get 2-3 copies. You're careless. You might leave one behind. You'll have extras.
Might leave one to
download one.
Father's Day's come. I mean, Father's Day this weekend.
And why couldn't you buy one for some other dad, you know? Come on, you cheapskate. Yep. Get a bunch of these. I have no idea what I was going to say because I was so hard selling your book. What you've done here in taking the modern history obviously takes it through the World Series.
Yeah, and the past 2 years as well.
And now you're in a position where you go, okay, it's 2 years. Are they going to do it again, or are we on another 108, 110-year slide here?
Yeah, that's you know, it was kind of tough because I ended this, you know, I ended the book. They let me kind of add on some stuff late. You know, mm-hmm. I turned it in December and added some stuff January and February, and just a long conversation I had with Theo Epstein in his office in January is in there. It was a real unknown going into this season, and, you know, it's still an unknown. Obviously, we didn't think in this book, I didn't predict they were going to sign Craig Kimbrell. I didn't predict that money was going to be freed there. But, yeah, they're in a real unknown here, and if this team goes, no matter what, this team's a success because of all the playoff appearances they've made. That's the foundation for sustained success. Theo talked about when he got hired, but this is supposed to be more multiple World Series. I mean, that was what they were built for with the young talent.
And there's a little bit of sensitivity here with the Bears of 85 that should have won 10 in a row, and they got one.
And in some ways, yeah, 100% on that, but in some ways it's even bigger because the Cubs were younger. When mm-hmm. they won.
Great
they
point.
Were really young.
Great point.
And, you know, they have the money. Now they've got their stadium. They got everything rebuilt after all the whining and complaining. They got everything they wanted, you know, and now they've got a new TV station starting. That's going to start money. You know, they left their longtime home here high and dry for some quick cash down the street. And, you know, they've got enough. They've got no excuses anymore. There's no money excuses. There's no farm system excuses.
I want to get Joe and John and obviously Dave in here. We're going to take a quick break. But before we do, what you just brought up, I think, is important because we know teams that find a way to make money off the field and they either forget about the core product on the field or they're so distracted by the big business that maybe the thing starts to break down. The Cubs are printing money.
Printing.
With the Wrigleyville situation and the way they've bought all the land and they're blowing it up and stuff. Is that good or a distraction based on what we know right now?
It's good. You know, this was a problem for Theo in Boston. And he talked about this, and I've talked to him about it. That was a problem when he had to go to meetings with Nesson executives saying they needed sexier players to sell to the female audience. They literally said that to him. And they used, for some reason, Dustin Pedroia as an example, which Theo thought was kind of weird.
Even guys sexier than Dustin Pedroia.
Right. It was really – but that's when he did the Adrian Gonzalez deal, and he felt like that pushed him. I think he – because he's had that experience, he has a firm take on keeping it on the field. Ricketts aren't obsessed with glamour. They're not Tom Werner.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I do think they're worried about the core product. But yeah, that is, we've thought about this a lot, especially with the new TV network starting. They got to make sure they stay focused on the core part of the field and not everything else.
And the partner they have is, I'm not a fan. I'm not thrilled about, but that's a different story. More coming up with John Greenberg. Dave Ennett will take over and actually do a real interview in just a second. If These Walls Could Talk is the book and more in a moment.
Talking baseball. Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller.
If These Walls Could Talk, the Chicago Bobby Cubs history. In modern days, the dugout, the locker room, the press box, the stories from 2003 to yesterday. John Greenberg's here. John runs the Athletic Chicago and Super Joe, you're on The Athletic all day long, aren't you?
I sure am. Yeah, yeah. Proud subscriber.
All right, so Dave, let's start with you. Take over.
Okay, so John, you detail the transition, first of all, when Dale Swain was let go as manager. That didn't work out too well for the Cubs. Rick Renteria comes in, is widely regarded as doing a good job with the team and some of the young guys who are starting to come up. And then the transition to Joe Maddon, which comes after the Cubs had said Renteria was coming back as manager. With that all in mind, with this kind of the shadow hovering around Maddon and his contract situation now, should we be surprised that Joe Maddon's a lame duck manager here after doing what everybody said you couldn't do in Chicago and take the Cubs to a World Series title?
A little bit, but I mean, then two things there. One, he won in the second year of his contract, so then you got 3 years left. You know, and that makes it tough to do any. You know, yeah, they could have tacked on a couple more years, but I guess they, whatever. But also, I mean, we all remember the World Series, you know, and it wasn't Joe's, like, masterwork. You know, and I have a quote from Hendry in here, or at least a paraphrase, saying he was rooting for Joe when he was sitting in his Park Ridge house because he knew if they lost, he was going to get killed for the way he handled the bullpen. He's like, I just thought, this guy is going to get murdered in Chicago. And, like, there was questions, like, would they... I don't think they would have fired him, but, like, they were not happy. I mean, and it's easy for those guys to second-guess decisions when they're sitting in the seats and Joe's on the field, making them, you know, it normal game speed time. So, in theory, yeah, it's weird, but in reality, no, it kind of makes sense. Now, I do think... But going into the season, I thought Joe's a lame duck. Now, I think they re-sign him, and they put him back on the time. They have a timeline here for 2021.
Well, let me ask both you guys something, and Joe Romano jump in on this as well. If Joe Girardi wasn't available, would this conversation even be going on? Because if Girardi's out there, and I know he's getting offers from everybody,
right,
don't the Cubs have to think about it?
Yeah, you know, I would love to know, and they don't really kind of tell you all this stuff even behind the scenes, but whether they would want Girardi, whether Girardi's a Theo type of guy, whether they would mesh.
Fair enough.
You know, Girardi's a pretty strong personality and has his own ways of doing things, and that's always the question. Now, I don't think Theo actually wants to run the team. Like, people always say, oh, they want to run from the... He doesn't want the responsibility of doing that, but he wants someone who's going to listen and agree with him a lot of times, in that he likes people to disagree, but I think they want someone who thinks how they think in certain ways.
Go back to the 2021 timeline. What does that mean for the Cubs?
Well, you look, and you can go on Cott's contracts. I wrote about a story the other day. A lot of contracts are expiring after that season, or a lot of guys can go free agent if they don't get extended, like Baez and Bryant.
KB. Yeah.
Right, KB and Javi, most notably. Theo's contract is up after 2021. And in, you know, so is Jed Hoyer's and Jason McLeod's, but really, Theo's the one who said 10 years is a good time to stay at a place. And that would be 10 years. That would be the 10th year. There's also a few other, like, there's a lot of people, like, up around that time, and they just signed Kimbrel through that season with an option after that year. Even Rizzo's done after that year. His last contract option is 2021 for the team. So that would be the kind of de facto deadline right now. I don't think it has to be.
Yeah, but it makes sense.
But it makes sense, exactly.
Completely. If These Walls Could Talk is a book, John Greenberg. Joe Romano?
You know, my question is kind of course, I'm going to bring up the White Sox.
You're going to work them in.
Yeah, so one thing that frustrates me as a White Sox fan is the constant comparison in the rebuild to what the Cubs did. I think, you know, each rebuild is unique. Can you talk about how much the Cubs did in order to rebuild that the team? You know, not just, like, falling into Chris Bryant because the Astros passed on him, and, you know, the great trade for Jake Arrieta.
Well, that's, it is unique, and the White Sox, in a lot of ways, had a big leg up because they had two guys in their prime they could trade in Sale and Quintana. And I'm sure Sox fans like you wondered, like, wait, why couldn't you build a winning team around these two instead of trading them? That's what, you know, a problem a lot of people had. The Cubs didn't really have that. If you look at the team they had, they didn't have a lot of assets to trade. Farm system wasn't quite as bad as people made it out to be, but it wasn't great. So they did, you know, you look at 13 was a terrible year on the field, but there was a few weeks span there where they made their biggest deals, right? They draft Bryant, that the Arrieta trade. I think that was the year that they trade for Edwards that year too, I believe. Yeah. So I was going through with someone else. That's when they signed Eloy and Gleybar. And it was all kind of like boom, boom, boom in that little stretch. And that's really where they remade the core of their team. And the funny thing, I wrote about this in the book, and I wrote about the time in 16 for The Athletic, the White Sox were very close to trading for Jake Arrieta. not very, very close, but they were close.
Is that right?
They were going to trade Jesse Crane for him because the Orioles were going, they're a playoff team and they needed relief. Jesse Crane had like a 1-something ERA, and they were talking. It was exploratory talks. They're like, wait, he's got a little bit of an elbow problem. Let's let him rest. Like, well, how is he? And they're like, well, Rick's like, I don't know. Jesse Crane never pitched again. And they swung the deal for Arrieta instead.
Ah, baseball. John?
I just wonder if anybody, if you run into any fans that feel like me, that because they won the World Series, I don't, in my lifetime, I'm not that big a deal if they don't win it again. I'm like, oh my God, it happened. It finally happened.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
No, I think there's a lot of people like that. I think every fan is different. You know, what drives a fan. I kind of, you know what, after, I'm a Steelers fan, I'm from that area,
mm-hmm.
and after the, I went to that Super Bowl where they beat the Seahawks in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and that was the first one of me, besides being a one-year-old, you know, that I could actually remember,
mm-hmm.
and I think it did change a little bit. I think that, you know, that one for the thumb thing,
yeah.
I was still into it, and I was into it again when they won again.
But you could exhale.
Right, exactly. Right. You know, I think there, because the a lot of the Cubs, the narrative around the Cubs was tied around that one thing. You know, there should be, you know, there should be satisfaction. You should feel satisfaction in life. You know, you shouldn't be in a constant state of agitation. So I think
well,
it's
that is
good
true.
Thing.
But you could also make the argument, right, that that with the talent on this team, you could also be the New England yeah. Patriots and you know, or the 85 Bears with the extended run. Last word, Dave.
Kyle Schwarber, leadoff, permanent leadoff hitter for this team now.
There's nothing permanent with Joe Maddon.
No,
so.
Of course not.
So, but, no, but I think
but it sure seems like he's the guy.
I think it's really nice because that was, remember, that basically destroyed him in 17 when they put him in leadoff. And mm-hmm. he never really, we just pretended like, oh, he's healthy, he's fine, because he had that adrenaline pumping return to the World Series where he DH'd. And he wasn't. And he wasn't ready. And I think that really ruined him that year, for the first half of the year, was that pressure he put on himself. And I like it that he is doing well again there. I really like Kyle Schwarber. And that story, and I detail it in the book, of him coming back for that World Series, it was amazing because it actually overshadowed the Cubs being on the precipice of it for a day.
Yeah.
And we actually broke this. Adav Sharma, my writer, had it early, very early. So much so that I couldn't believe it. And we broke that story, and it was one of my favorite stories I've ever covered. So I'm happy for him. I hope he excels in that spot.
Ben Zobrist ever coming back?
You know, Theo sounded a lot more yesterday in L.A., yesterday, our writers yeah. there, and sounded a lot more hopeful. I never thought he was 100% retired. Who knows? It's such a personal thing. They've really kept a tight lid. They're not even like saying stuff off the record to us about it, at least not to me.
Well, it's not, you know, this is the thing. If you're famous, it doesn't mean it's your business.
Yeah,
you know,
he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, and he's going through a thing, and it doesn't matter.
He's got
the
kids.
For
right?
being supportive.
I totally agree.
They're totally agree. And like, you know, you go back to the Tommy La Stella stuff, I give them a lot of credit for being supportive when, you know, other teams wouldn't be. I give those guys credit. So buy my book, you know, here, you'll read all about it.
What book? If These Walls Could Talk. Stories from the Chicago Cubs dugout, locker room, press box, everywhere books are sold. John Greenberg from The Athletic. Read John, The Athletic Chicago, and get on and subscribe and be there as well. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys. The best interview I've done.
Well, I appreciate you being here. We'll come back with headlines next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's good to be king, just for a while.
Father's Day weekend. John Williams is here. And happy Father's Day to you.
I love this song.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ruin it for you.
It's good to get high.
Oh, there you go. Mr. Drugs.
Never come down.
As soon as pot became legal, Williams starts playing all the Tom Petty music.
I'm not Mr. Drugs.
John Williams is here. John, as you know, fans of the John Williams Show, and you should listen every day, is on every day 1 to 3, and then Saturday mornings from 10 to noon?
Yeah.
10 to noon. And you had something happen recently, a medical oddity, if you will. You became a medical oddity.
I discovered it wasn't that odd, that a lot of people go through this.
But I think it's important you tell the story here. I know you've told it on your own show, but I think people can learn from this. So what happened?
I was not sure where it was, but it was around Memorial Day.
Okay.
And I just kind of closed my eyes. Maybe it was that Monday or Tuesday after. And I just saw a couple of lightning bolts.
With your eyes closed? Were you sitting at home or where were you?
Don't even remember. I just, you know, throughout the day, sometimes you have floaters and little flashes. You know, nobody's vision's perfect all the time. And I just remembered after the fact, I go, oh, I remember I saw two very distinct lightning bolts. And I thought, whatever. And then the next morning I wake up and about a fifth of my field of vision is kind of gone.
So at that point, you're thinking back and you go, what happened to my father?
He had a detached retina.
And his detached retina came up in a different way, right?
Right. He was driving down the road one day, and he said to my mom, boy, it's really raining. She said, no, it's not. He says, yeah, look at all that. He had this shower of floaters. So when you see
it literally looks like rain.
To him, it did. So when you see something traumatic or something dramatically different, because there's no pain associated with it, you feel zero. You go, whatever.
But you told me something I didn't know, and that is if you don't take care of this, your eye will die. You'll go blind.
The retina's detached from the eyeball. That's where it gets its blood and nutrients, and it can't just sit there forever. So I'm looking at it, and I'm doing my show that Tuesday, and it's not...
With half your vision.
And it's not getting better. I keep thinking,
right.
I think I know what this is, but I think I don't want to think about it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to go to the doctor.
Yeah, you're a dude. Let me walk it off.
So I called the doctor, an eye doctor, and they go, get to the emergency room.
Not to the office. Get to the emergency room.
Go to ER.
So they knew what it was right away.
They did. As I described it, they go, that's, you better get to the ER.
So what happened? Surgery?
Now you walk into ER, and you take a number as you slowly watch your vision march out of view. And you go, I can't. And, you know, God bless the ER people, but I was like 23 in line.
In Chicago.
But 24 hours after I walked in, I was sedated and my retina was detached. Like right now, they go, okay, I said to the doctor when I finally saw an ophthalmologist that evening, so what are you doing? He says, I'm calling the anesthesiologist to make sure he can come in tomorrow at 3 because we're operating on your eye.
Now, how risky is the surgery?
I don't think that it's any riskier than, you know, anybody being intubated and put out, and hopefully you get through that, but it was no problem for me. I don't think that's risky.
But there is, for some people, a treatment that thankfully you didn't have to do.
I didn't know that.
Which is what?
Well, there's one of two ways they fix it, and that is either they put a little buckle on your eye and everything fits back together, which is what I did, or they put a gas ball in your eye, and then that sort of inflates and pushes the retina back onto the surface of the eye. But that gas floats up. So in order for it to work, you have to face down. So the gas ball goes up and pushes your retina back up where it has to be. When you wake up, they'll tell you which version of that you had, the buckle or the gas ball.
And if you have the gas ball, what do you have to do?
Lay face down 22 hours a day for 2 weeks.
Ugh. How about that?
Yeah, so that's the worst one I've heard people.
You knew about this, Mary?
I didn't know this.
I've never heard of
that. A couple people. Yes.
I can't do that.
So if you pick like a massage table, right? The donut hole for your head?
You watch TV with a mirror they give you down there. You drink with a straw.
Okay, what do you do about going pee-pee?
I think... Well, if
it's easy for guys,
if I understand the gravity, you're okay there. It's the other end you got to worry about.
Wow.
So, prognosis great?
Evidently, you know, so then you kind of wake up and they take the patch off the next day and it looks like you have bad allergies, but you have no scar. And I saw that film of darkness was gone, but my vision is now, it looks like I'm looking through petroleum jelly, but every day it gets better. It gets better.
So this is your right eye. If you close your left eye, I look like I'm Sybil Shepherd from Moonlighting with the Vaseline on the camera.
You look like a jellyfish.
Wow.
Which people have said before, in all fairness to me.
It's true. That's true. That's absolutely true. I get that a lot. Yeah, I do.
But God bless the doctors, because you know how when you go through a major medical procedure, you just want to hug them and kiss them and pay their tuition.
Sure.
You cannot be more grateful for what these people do. And that's...
Saved your vision.
I know. And think of what that does to your life. And I'm like... I don't know. I just wanted to say thank you for going to med school. Thank you for studying. Thank you for living near the hospital. thank you for having deft hands, stuff like that.
Yeah, thank you for not becoming a specialist in another field.
I saw David Hochberg a couple days later. He goes, I just tell you, you're blind. You're just, I can't fix that. You're toast, baby.
Can you imagine that nightmare if you walk into the surgeon's office and it's Hochberg?
Is there a test we can do, like, when we go to the eye doctor that can predict this?
That's a great question.
Yeah. I don't think so. You know, I have high pressure in my eye, borderline high pressure, so I don't know if that's a precursor to it, but you know what they'll ask you a lot is, did you have trauma? Did somebody bonk you on the head, or you play football or something that might bam tear it? That didn't.
Were you running with a stick? You know what your mother said.
I was just sitting there and went up. Oh, there goes my retina.
It's so wild. Oh, now, since it happened to your dad, is there any heredity evidence?
Evidently. Because I've talked to a lot of people who've had the one, and it happens to somebody else in their family.
Wow.
I told my boys, you know, when you get to be 59, if it's raining and it's not, 24 hours,
right.
Go.
Because I'll be too old to drive you at that point.
Well, Brenda, so people say, can you drive? And I go, yeah, I can see the jellyfish over here.
Uh-huh.
And I see really good over here.
Uh-huh.
So if you see me on Lakeshore Drive.
Don't be on Lakeshore Drive.
Well, you want to be in the correct lane. Because one of you I ain't going to see very well.
Yeah. Well, feel free not to drive until that clears up.
I just got new glasses, too.
I was going to say, give us about 10 minutes.
And very styling.
That's all we have.
We'll have Mary put out an alert. You know, yeah. John is now heading home to the...
All right, so the message for listeners is, if your eye suddenly is doing something it never did before,
right, and don't
pass go, go.
Right, and don't say, oh my gosh, it didn't hurt. You know, I'm sure this will clear up.
Sure.
It literally, Steve, looked like I was looking through a photo negative. You know, like I could see, but it was just dark, dark, dark brown. And it was sort of slowly encroaching further and further. And I thought,
that's panic time for me.
And there's no pain. You do not know it happened other than your vision's compromised. So, yeah, go see a doctor, then get $73,000 and get that thing fixed.
Health insurance. Thanks for telling the story. I think it's important that people know.
I don't want to. My wife said to me the other day, John, stop. This has happened before. You're not the first one. She said that to me when my first son was born, when our first son was born, because it's all I could talk about. It's
sure,
like you with grandkids. It's the most amazing thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She goes, I think they got the word, but you may be a different audience now, so I'm happy to tell folks.
Yeah, and we're blessed to have the platform. I think we have a responsibility to help people when we can.
So there you go, Steve. I'm good.
Thanks.
And by the way, I'm good. Thanks for asking. You did. And it's nice to be well.
That's concerned.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 9:57. All right, John, real quick, what the Steve Cochran Comedy Tour is going where?
We are going out west to Zanies in Pheasant Run Friday, August 23rd. Go to zanies.com. And then Saturday, September 7th, we'll be north at the Metropolis Theater in downtown Arlington Heights. And then Friday, September 27th, we'll be south at Beverly Arts Center. How about that?
It's good. It's going to be fun. Get your tickets. And we'll come back with Bill and Wendy in just a second on 720 WGN. Dave, I'll miss you. Have a great time in Italy.
Thank you. I'll miss you too, Steve.
And bring me back some beefaroni or something, will you?
I don't know if they let you bring that back, but I'll bring you something.
Or nice wine would be good.
You could sneak the beefaroni in.
Can you?
Put it in your socks.
Well, I didn't think about that.
Okay, is that really what you want to go to Italy and buy?
Hey,
and bring
Steve's
back?
The travel expert.
Yeah,
don't question him.
I guess if he tells me to, I've got to.
Just bring back Chef Boyardee.
Chef Boyardee is not actually from Italy, as far as we know.
Oh.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Happy Father's Day.
And happy Father's Day to Bill Leff.
Thanks,
and John
Steve.
DeCoss,
and to you.
Thank you.
And all the dads.
Happy Father's Day, all you boys.
Thank you. And
thanks,
if
Mary.
You don't have your dad, I'm sorry. It is sad, and I'd give you a hug, but you're not in the room. But I feel for those folks as well. My dads are gone, both of them.
I know.
Yeah, so. But anyway, big plans for Father's Day later today. Ross Cochran and I will be on the golf course if you need us.
That's going to be a great way to spend Father's Day.
Good kickoff the Father's Day weekend right there.
That's terrific.
And dinner with Abigail Grace.
Even better.
Right? There you go. Mm-hmm. Bill, what are you doing?
Undisclosed.
Because of the fans?
Yes. We're afraid of people at the Olive Garden mugging us. We don't want that.
Just give them a free breadstick.
Unlimited salad bowl. Don't they have other things to do? Come on.
What are you guys doing today?
We are going to talk to a guy from Naperville who climbed Mount Everest.
Oh, he's one of those?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
And he's got stories.
Yeah.
That's in Naperville?
No. Is he alive? He's from Naperville.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a different interview if he wasn't. Yeah. We're back on Monday. See you then.